back of Rusty Ranks Beers, where I pick a brand, drink 12 of them, and then give it a score. Today we got Corona.
We're in. We love what we're seeing so far. George and I are exclusively playing FIFA with South American teams right now as an homage to the Coronas. Made in. We've been watching the talented Mr. Ripley. Kind of want to get my Jude Law on. Hit maybe like a little part of Italy, go relax for a little bit. Drove in, it's a hell of a beer, throwing some limes in there. Has treated us unbelievably well. We're actually currently recording this on the Hitting Sand podcast, so go check it out. But other than that, not much else to report. It's a great beer.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, April 8th. I'm J.E. Skeets rolling this morning with my Top Shot Hot Boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Fred.
And last but not least, making the magic happen, it's J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. J.D., I hope you personally reached out to Rusty Featherstone and got clearance on using that for a cool moment. I think they were upset last time.
Well, they'll get over it. They'll have a few beers and get over it. I mean, I don't know what, like, it's an homage. I love those guys. I mean, come on.
Rusty Featherstone.
I do great feel name. Like a Corona now, too. Yeah. Shout out to the stream team joining us live on YouTube right this second. Please like the video and comment on the video. Help us defeat the algorithm and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Tell your friends about the show. New happy hour tonight. Oh, yeah. Firing it up at halftime of the Lakers Heat game on TNT. But let's be honest, we're going to be watching this one. Yeah. The Bulls Raptors graveyard match, casket match. Call it whatever you want. Loser gets buried. Loser's dead to us. Whoever loses this game. Hopefully, you have a guest swinging by. King of the fourth quarter, Kenny Beecham, is scheduled right now to appear on Happy Hour. So, yeah, make sure you subscribe to No Dunk so you know when we're going live. Again, halftime Lakers Heat, halftime really of the Bulls Raptors. We'll fire it up. Hopefully talk to Kenny. Have some larfs. Hey, maybe we can get Rusty Featherstone to drop by and talk to him too. Yeah, I'd definitely have a beer with him on a happy hour. Guys,
we have to do that one time. 12 beers. Yeah, just 12 beers and just talk about the beers.
Get him on a happy hour.
Right. That's a great idea.
Pick a beer that's related to the city of a team that's playing. Like, I don't know, Pabst Blue Ribbon if the Bulls were going down. Nonetheless, would be some great content over time. You know, people on the Classic Clips website would have to chop off every four beers review from old Rusty. But, you know, we haven't heard back yet from John Cleese. So as soon as we hear back from John Cleese, maybe Rusty Featherstone will slide into DMs and let us know if he's coming on.
I can't wait. Email us your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Email them in. We hit the beach yesterday, Lili. Had a blast, man. We were talking about sort of the next batch, I guess, if you want to call it that, of like all-star or all-NBA players, like the potential that you see in some of these young guys that could pay off in a couple of years. We talked about the Space Jam Goon Squad snubs. Yeah, we're talking about a movie that hasn't even come out yet. And the snubs. We also got into talking about sushi boats and Dutch wedgies and a lot of fun. So, did you have fun on the beach? Oh, yes. And Lee's...
the mug.
The do the do-rag. Lee Ellis mug there that people are making. Did you have fun on the beach, Lee?
I did. It's always a fun episode when we do that because we're talking... It's a bit like a mini happy hour, isn't it? You know, we're not necessarily talking basketball. A little bit thrown in there, but just a bit more talk about stories and life and fun and... It's always great. JD's there. He's smiling away. He's having a ball. That's what it's all about.
Stories about life and fun.
We actually didn't talk to JD all that much yesterday on Beach Step. And happy hours when JD really shines. Yeah.
It's great, though. That's what we want. I mean, it's basketball's great, of course. But it's so much more fun when we just talk about other stuff in life, isn't it?
I guess so, man. Immaculate items. Always available for sale over at nodunks.com. You know, go buy yourself a t-shirt, wear it, and then someone's going to see you and go, you know what I like about that podcast? They pretend they're a basketball podcast, but I like when they talk about life and fun and sushi boats. And they, that one time they had Rusty Featherstone on. That was great. Anyway, let's get into actual hoops. Sorry, Lily, we're going to talk a little basketball.
Boring.
We introduced this segment last Friday, I think it was. I think we did it on the drop. And some of y'all seem to get a kick out of it. So let's run it back. It's called Grade It. And I want you guys to grade the following sort of statements that I'm throwing at you. 1 out of 10, 1 being the lowest, 10 being the highest. We'll start with this one. On a night that the Suns didn't play a perfect game, their energy carried them throughout this one. Got the W again. Booker, 35. Chris Paul out of 29. Phoenix beat the Utah Jazz 117-113 in overtime in a very entertaining matchup between the two top teams in the league. Suns took control in overtime, Lely. That's when they ran away with it there. They got a scored the first 5 in overtime and never trailed again. But grade it. Grade this pretty impressive victory. What the hell's going on with my hair? I just know. I got a real wisp.
Got a real nice swoopski going over.
I have very Featherstone-y hair today. I just washed it. Grade it, though, Lee. Suns overtime victory over the Jazz. What do you want to give it?
Well, I'll give it a 9. I thought Trey was going to lead us off on this one. But anyway, I'll take it. It's fine. It was a fantastic game that did live up to its hype. Absolutely. The two top teams in the West and two teams that really have been probably playing above their expectations to some degree this season so far. And this was one of those sort of statement games, I think, for the Phoenix Suns to show that they can, you know, beat the Utah Jazz and beat a really good team, because they kind of had control of this game. The Jazz made that third quarter run. And then when it came to sort of winning time, Chris Paul late in that fourth quarter was absolutely brilliant. And then on the last possession of regulation, I think Monty Williams and Chris Paul, like, listen, Devin, this is your time. Go out there and do something. I don't think he got a great shot. I think it was actually a pretty bad possession, but it didn't matter in the end because the Suns went on to win this game. And they overcame themselves. As you said there, not a great performance, you know, but they grinded out this victory. And if you can sort of relate this to a playoff-type atmosphere or a playoff-type game, I think that's what it is. It's like you're not always going to play perfectly. You're going to go up against a team that's going to certainly come in surges like it did with the Utah Jazz. They didn't. They had another awful night from three-point range here. But Phoenix got the victory. And, I mean, Devin Booker, I guess, is the star of this game. But really, for me, it was Chris Paul. Once again, just brilliant in those moments there where it became tight in that fourth quarter. And he either made the right pass or just made the right shot. And he had that mid-range game going. He was fantastic. DeAndre Ayton, I thought, was fantastic as well. He has improved a lot. And maybe that's the Chris Paul influence. Maybe it's just the fact that DeAndre Ayton is maturing himself as a player. But on both ends of the floor, going up against someone like Rudy Gobert was a good challenge for him last night. And I thought he was up for it. Mm-hmm. So really great game. A fantastic win here for the Phoenix Suns, because they built that lead early, as I said, in the first half. The Jazz, you knew, were going to make a run. They did. The Jazz almost sort of pulled it away late, but ultimately Chris Paul was fantastic and did what he had to do to get his team over the line. So one of the, you know, we haven't said this for a while, but one of the better games for the season, I'd have to say. I put it in top 10, top 15 for sure.
Yeah, it lived up to the hype. The two best teams in the league record-wise. Yes, I read the document wrong. Trey, you were supposed to go first. My apologies. But
all right, man.
How would you grade this Suns overtime victory?
I had a lot of grades lined up here, Skeets. An A- is my overall grade for the game. Like you're saying, it wasn't a perfect game from either team's standpoint, but that was an awesome win for the Suns. I'm also giving it a PI for playoff intensity. I'll give the Suns an R for resiliency, and I'm giving myself a C+ for eating a Cadbury cream egg at 10:30 at night to stock up on energy and stay up to see it happen. An amazing match between these. Booker was great, 7 in overtime. Chris Paul to the extreme. Like, people are putting him in the MVP conversation, and I don't even want to fight it anymore. Yeah. 11 points in the fourth quarter while Booker was struggling. 5 in overtime. The extracurriculars, next level from Chris Paul in this game. Drinking Chris's secret stuff
on the sideline.
I mean, come on. You know that he has the label tilted to the camera side on purpose here. This is incredible stuff. Great product placement. And apparently it worked. Also great from Chris Paul was when he tried to shake Donovan Mitchell's hand after Mitchell missed a free throw. Chris Paul was at his most Chris Paul last night, and it really showed for the Suns. And like you're saying, Lee, DeAndre Ayton was great last night. I said I'd leave him off my 25 under 25 list yesterday. Suns fans were heated, but he brought it against Gobert. He played hard. He played physical. 5 offensive rebounds in the fourth quarter, which were huge. You know, just getting extra possessions for Phoenix. They really gritted it out. Great win for the Suns. Their best of the season. And honestly, I thought the Jazz did a great job too. You know, on a night that they couldn't buy a bucket from 3-point line, they played tough. They kept it close and they had a chance to win it. You know, that was an incredible shot by Mitchell. Who knows what goes down in overtime? I thought that was impressive by the Suns to have the poise to bounce back after a crazy shot from Mitchell to just go out and kind of put the game away right away. They came out and they scored on the first couple of possessions and it was basically over. But great stuff from the Jazz to stay in this game. Great stuff from the Suns to actually pull off the dub.
Yeah, you don't see a basket scored in the first 5 seconds of overtime very often, right? Like the Suns, the perfect like tip to Booker and boom, he was gone and had the layup. And then I think it was Cam Johnson who hit a 3 after that, and that was the first 5. And again, they never gave up the lead in overtime. You know, the Suns is a damn fun team. I've been trying to tell some of you out there, watch Phoenix Suns, man. They are actually good. They're better. I mean, they're just as good as maybe their record has been showing. I just keep watching them going, how many teams in the league have 2 like sort of assassins at the guard positions that you can just give the ball to either guy and go, get us a bucket or get us a good shot or make the right play? Like to have 2 of them at your disposal, there's only a handful of teams, right? It's like the Nets in Kyrie and Harden.
That's it.
It's it maybe the Blazers in Lillard and McCollum. McCollum can, you know, sure. He's got a lot in his bag and I feel pretty confident with him. And then, yeah, I think it's then the Suns in Booker and Chris Paul. Because it's not like Westbrook and Beal, because, you know, you're going to be happy Westbrook not taking shots and stuff like that. It's not, like, you can't even convince me it's like Butler and Dragic. Like, you're going a little overboard with trying to put Dragic in there. Yeah, so it's like, it's special in all these things you guys just mentioned about this game. You know, Booker did hit some big shots, but you're right, Lee. When he was struggling, it was the Chris Paul show. And that's what I mean. It's pretty amazing that you have 2 of these guys that are, like, just all NBA level, like, go get me a basket. And, I like, think, against the Jazz, who will give up the mid-range. Like, that's where you can expose the Jazz, right? Yeah. They take away everything at the rim because you got Gobert, and they're pretty good at getting out on 3-point shooters. That's their defense. So that middle part, it's there to be had. A lot of teams don't want to take it. It's not all that high. You know, the efficiency is not through the roof or anything like that. But a guy like Chris Paul, and Booker, for that matter, they're happy with it. They'll take those shots.
I think one of the things that maybe Chris Paul has influenced Devin Booker with this, and maybe not, maybe it's, again, just growth from Devin Booker, but if he's having a bad shooting night, it's like, just forget about it. Keep shooting, man. You're a great shooter. You've got that mid-range shot, so keep on firing away. Don't sort of let a bad start to the game or a bad half weigh you down. Just keep on going. And I think he did that in the second half because he went 0 for 6 from downtown and, you know, 13 for 31. So you look at that and think, that's not a great shooting night, but 35 points, and he was great. So, you know, don't worry so much about the details. Just worry about getting the win and keep shooting, keep putting pressure on that defense, because that shot is so pretty and he can get to it anytime he wants. He just can't let those other bad, you know, bad quarters or bad halves affect him in the second half. So I think, again, is that Chris Paul?
I don't think that's an issue for Devin Booker.
No, but I think it has been in the past.
The Kobe mentality.
Yeah, but I think in the past,
he's going to shoot. The next shot is going in his mind.
Yeah, but for me, I think in the past, you sort of see him sometimes in the second half when the Suns would just suck. It was just like Devin Booker was just like, sure, he might keep firing away, but he would be taking bad shots and he would let those affect him. I think last night you would see him step in, take that mid-range, so just go back to that shot because it's very tough to defend. He's quick enough, you know, to get that shot up, and it's such an effective one. So that's one thing I've noticed. Maybe, again, it's just the fact that the Suns are winning. It stands out a little bit more. Maybe not, but he seems to have grown in that role, which is really what the Suns were hoping for when Chris Paul came over.
Mm-hmm. The stream team wants to know, Lee, is Devin Booker a beautiful shooter of the basketball?
Oh, yes, he is. He is a very beautiful shooter of the basketball. It's smooth. It's comfortable. When he does a 3-point shootout, it's just clinical. It's mechanical. It's soft. It's beautiful. It's delicate. That's what you want out of a shooter.
Are you describing a croissant right now?
I mean, he does
delicate,
shoot like
it's
a
beautiful.
Croissant.
It's buttery. It's soft. It's not that filling, but it really quenches your hunger.
But ever since he came into the league, he's had a beautiful shot. It just hasn't always gone down. But now that it is starting to go down, like I say, he reminds me of Beal when he gets to that mid-range, it just rises up. It's like, you know, whether it's Ingles or Bogdanovic, they can't really contest that shot if he's rising up and knocking it down. So yeah, it is very beautiful. It is like a croissant. That's a great way to describe it.
Wow, that is sort of nice. I mean, as we've talked about too, croissants should be like $10 each, the amount of work that goes into making a croissant. So Booker, I guess, is what I'm getting at, terribly underpaid. Anyway, all right, so I was gonna say, the only disappointing thing watching this game to me was like, what are the odds we see these teams play each other in a playoff series? It's probably low. I mean, look, maybe they both make really deep runs and meet in the conference finals. I think a lot of people would not be banking on that and not betting on that. So otherwise, I just don't know if we'll see them, like, even in a second round, Lee. I just think they might be the 1-2 seeds with the Nuggets and the Lakers and the Clippers behind them in the standings. I think it's unlikely we get a 7-game series between these teams, because I think it would be awesome. I mean, it would be similar to, like, I think the Mitchell versus Jamal Murray show that we got in the bubble. Sure. I think we'd get something similar with Booker versus Mitchell. And then, you know, you throw in all these other great players. It would have been fun. But good win from the Suns. I was happy to see them get that, especially when it came to the pick'em, which we'll get to later. Our next one here, though, in Grade It. Kevin Durant returned from a 23-game absence last night to spark Brooklyn's most explosive half of the season. Now, KD finished with 17 points on 5-of-5 shooting in the Nets' 139-111 victory over the Pelicans. KD played under 20 minutes. I'll go first. I'll grade it. I'll give it a 9 out of 10 here. I love that we sometimes do the letter scores. We sometimes do A grade's a grade. I'll go 9 out of 10, though. And I'm only docking it because you're like, what? He didn't miss a shot. You know, 17-7-5 in 20 minutes. Pretty damn good there, Skeets. Only dipping it down a little bit because he had a few sloppy turnovers really right when he came in. Like, he threw like a really lazy like cross court. It was like, got picked off so easily. It was like, oh yeah, this guy hasn't played in a while. Otherwise, my God, was pretty damn impressive. And you know, getting to the rim a little bit, of course the jump shot's pure. One of the greatest scorers in history, still looks okay and capable of doing that. And it was really nice to see WandaVision. Wanda Durant back on the sidelines. I hadn't seen her or thought about her in a while, Trey. And what a blinged out mask, too. That was a killer look. So I was happy to see her mom there cheering him on. He looked comfortable. So I'll give it a 9 out of 10. Am I going too low, Lee? What do you think?
No, I think Kevin Durant looked fantastic. I don't even care about the turnovers, because the way he moved out there, he set up a couple of plays, hit the shot. You wouldn't know he missed 23 games. You would think he maybe had a game or two off for rest, because he just slotted straight back out there. Now, it was an easy win, so it was, you know, he wasn't really under pressure. But to me, Kevin Durant, if you're the Sixers or the Bucks, you're just like, okay, Giannis, basically you're going to have to guard Kevin Durant, because otherwise it's, who, Middleton, probably. And if you're the Sixers and you're Tobias Harris, it's like, that's your guy there, Toby. Shut him down, you know? And I mean, the Nets have so many weapons out there, obviously, when they're at full strength with Harden and Kyrie Irving. And if you're the Sixers, you probably go, okay, well, Ben Simmons, you know, we've got a good defender. We can put on one of those guys, most likely Harden, who can, you know, at least make it difficult for him. Then it's like, okay, who's going to guard Kyrie Irving? That becomes a different story there. Maybe it's Tybal or someone. You know, he's a long guy. He's athletic. But the question of Kevin Durant is like, what if this guy decides he's going for 45 one night, what is anyone's really chance of stopping him? He's just got so much time on the floor. You know, he can go to his little mid-ranger if he wants, which is unguardable, or he can step back and hit the three. He can drive inside. And he looked better than I sort of thought he would look after that long absence coming in off the bench. Yeah, I thought, you know, He'll probably take a little bit of time here and look a little bit off. No, not at all. It was almost like he was just like, oh yeah, I'm just going to come out and just show everyone. Look, I think he's missed too much time now to be considered MVP this season. But prior to the injury, I had him certainly in the top two or three there. But yeah, it's pretty deflating, I think, if you are the Sixers or the Bucks, because it's just like, he is the best player in the Eastern Conference and maybe in the league again, you know, when he's at his best, because he's got enough time here to get back and just... He's just so good, and just he can score anytime he wants. And we know the Nets have, you know, some defensive concerns, if you like, but it doesn't really matter when you just look at what the potential they have on offense. And Kyrie Irving last night threw down another. He's dunking like he's Michael Jordan out there. The two-hander, he's celebrating on his way down. I mean, it was great. But Yeah, the Nets, Skeeter, your bet with Tass is not looking very good.
No, it's not.
The Eastern Conference is the Nets to lose, and maybe even the championship right now, really. That's just how good I think they are.
Yeah, I mean, and they're getting contributions from Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge, and those guys have slotted right in, and they have all these other young guys that are, like, on the come up and, like, contributing, and yeah, they look pretty damn dominant, and this is without, really, their three best players all playing in the same damn game. I thought Steve Nash was listening to us the other day when I threw up my crazy idea of, like, hey, play one of your stars by themselves, like, with the other four random guys for one quarter, and then switch it up and go with the next superstar, and then do it in the third quarter with the next superstar, because Kevin Durant didn't come in, you know, until the second quarter there, Trey, but again, it didn't matter. Yeah, he threw a lazy cross-court pass, got picked off. Then I think he stepped out of bounds. He forgot the dimensions of the basketball court. He hadn't played in a while, but that was like it. Otherwise, it was basically perfect. How would you grade it?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going a letter or a number here, so I'll give it an A.5. Just because it was weird. I was hyped for this comeback. Then, like you're saying, Skeets, didn't start, didn't play in the first quarter. Even Mark Jones is like, we thought Kevin Durant would be playing tonight. Finally checks in, 7:37 left in the second quarter. Walked onto the court with his shorts down, you know, tucking in his jersey. I was like, that's quite the way to make an entrance, seeing those spandex on your lower thighs. But then he started playing basketball, and you're like, oh, right, Kevin Durant. He's not going to win MVP this year, but he's an MVP-level player. And you just see the benefits that the Nets have with having three incredible scorers, three lead ball handlers, three finals MVP-caliber players. You can let Kevin Durant sit out for 2 months, not lose a step, and then come back completely healthy. It was very similar, I thought, to the first game of the season when he came back from his Achilles injury, and you're like, wow, we're back to Kevin Durant being the best player, one of the three or four best players in basketball. The 17 points, so easy. 5 assists as well. And this guy was literally laughing at how easy these assists were. Like, the attention he would draw kind of at the high post that would lead to, I think he had an alley-oop for LaMarcus Aldridge at one point. He had another dump off to Aldridge. And as soon as Aldridge, like, catches it, slams it, they're jogging back down the court. Both of them are laughing like, this is going to be fun. Put it on a Sports Illustrated cover. This is going to be fun. This team, I mean, the Pelicans are not a defensive juggernaut. They're one of the three worst defensive teams in the league. So a good one to come back on, but it feels to me like the Nets could make any team look like the Pelicans. When you see them out there with their five guys who can shoot, Jeff Green was playing small ball five. That's still obviously going to be a huge part of the Nets' strategy going into the playoffs. But there was that time the ball was fizzing around the perimeter. End up with Joe Harris, a pump fake in the corner. He drives. They can just take any wide open shot they want when they put out those five guys who can pass the ball, shoot it, and dribble. Tough, tough stuff. And oh yeah, they're bringing back James Harden at some point. But guess what? They get to rest him as long as they want because they're going to keep winning in the meantime. So get as healthy as you can for playoff time.
That Kyrie dunk going baseline. I saw House of Highlights. They titled it. Now look, they're good at the clickbait, right? They want you to click on it, so they throw it a great headline. But Kyrie Irving's best dunk ever. And I was like, what the? Come on. What? Jesus. Like, I'm going to click on it anyway. Relax, House of Highlights. But then I'm like, hold on, is this his best dunk ever? It might be. He doesn't have a ton of them. They're usually right? like of the fast break variety, right? Yeah. Where there's like nobody there. This one at least in a little bit of traffic. And like you said, Lee sort of celebrating while he was hanging on the rim. Like, am I forgetting another Kyrie dunk? It might be. I think House of Highlights is right on this one.
I mean, there's not a ton that jumped to mind. I think he's had three this season alone, and that feels like it might be his career high for a season. Right. But yeah, I like a smaller guy with a two-hand throwdown. I think that's great because Steph Curry's had a couple of those too, hasn't he? He had the alley-oop as well. But it just feels like for the smaller guys, you know, just the one-handed dunk is a little bit easier. So to go up there and throw it down in a half-court set like that, I mean, it was great. But yeah, I'm trying to think of his Cleveland days. I mean, I don't remember him really ever dunking, certainly not one that stood out anyway. As you say, maybe on a fast break where there's no one there and he just sort of does an easy one, but this was a legit dunk, you know, baseline, beats the defense and then rises up, and I just loved him like pointing as he's still coming down. I was like, yeah, man,
they're having a good time.
Yeah.
How many dunks in his career do you think Kyrie Irving has, Lee?
20.
Not bad. 22.
Wow, good guess.
22 on the career, three of them this season. Everybody in Brooklyn is throwing down now. Another huge dunk from Blake Griffin last night. Honestly, it's ridiculous at this point. He was completely roping open it there for the Pistons, but I don't know. I think Steve Nash could play for this team. It's so easy for everybody out there. I mean,
yeah,
we know that he's not going to get blasted on defense because they don't really care on that part. He can give them 10 minutes a game, probably get 10 assists easily.
Probably. Yeah. All right, next one here. Grayson Allen. Oh, yeah, remember him. Scored 17 of his season-high 30 points in a dominant third quarter, leading the Grizzlies to the 131-113 win over the shorthanded Hawks on Wednesday. Valanciunas, he continued his dominant play. He had 19-11. Grizz won their fourth consecutive game here, and they've improved to 26-23. And they're eighth in the West. This was the team I told you at the All-Star break. Hey, watch out. This team might go on a bit of a second-half run here. If they didn't play the Utah Jazz, it may have been 11 straight wins at this point, because I think they're eight victories in their last 11 games, and the three of those losses coming against Utah. But go ahead and grade it there, Lili. The Grizzlies' playoff chances.
So I'm going to take play-in tournament out of it, because I think they're a lock for that, and go okay. for their playoff chances. And I'm going to say B. Or 8 out of 10. I don't know what we're doing for grades, but it's very, very good. Because, you know, you mentioned it there. So they're 5 of their last 6 they've won, and 3 of those wins have been against Philadelphia. Okay, no Embiid, fine. But Miami, and then Atlanta last night, a convincing victory. No Capella in that one as well. So they got a bit of a break there, but that doesn't really matter. You just got to win these games. And on the season, they're 12-14 against teams over 500. So they actually do play good teams pretty well. And they get contributions from a lot of guys on any given night. You mentioned Grayson Allen last night led them in scoring. Dylan Brooks has done it a couple of games. Valanciunas, Ja Morant has done it. Kyle Anderson, De'Anthony Melton with 13 points one game. There was a couple other guys had 13. But the point being that they do, it's not like Ja Morant's out there having a James Harden type run and just going for 45 or dragging this team. They do have great contributions on the offensive end. And then surprisingly, I didn't think they were this good. Their defense, according to NBA.com, they have the 6th best defensive rating in the league, which sort of, that surprised me because they do seem to win a lot of games like 122 to 118. You know, they give up a lot of points, but their rating suggests that they are a better defensive team than perhaps the eye test. So I think they're in a really good spot. Of course, now it's going to come down to how teams like the Spurs and the Warriors, I think primarily they're their challenges for the playoff spot. And they're most likely going to finish in the play-in tournament anyway, even though I said I want to take that out of it. But I think that the Grizzlies have shown they can compete with those teams. They're in the same group as those teams. And good road victories, as I mentioned just recently, Atlanta and Philadelphia especially, like really figuring out ways to win. So I think they're in a really good spot. And, you know, after last season, I think they caught a few teams by surprise and they couldn't quite finish it off down in the bubble. But they're better for it now. And they seem to know their roles. You know, like say, Valanciunas has been very good for them this season, scoring a lot, and defensively he's been very important for them.
He has been amazing for them.
Yeah.
He is one of the most underrated players in the league right now. I'm not even kidding. Absolutely. I'm not saying it just because he played for the Raps. He's been so good. Huh. They're missing Jaren Jackson Jr. still, too. He's not even back in his lineup
You've kind
yet.
Of forgotten about him.
It's been so long since he played. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm a big Jaren Jackson Jr. fan. I think he's got the potential to be their best player, but Valanciunas is a major tone setter for them. That guy plays so physically, and it really filters out to the rest of the team. Their bench is really solid defensively as well. They have figured out a nice team-building strategy where nobody on their team is bad. That's the secret for the Grizzlies. Everybody can play a little bit of defense. Mm-hmm. Everybody can play a little bit of offense. It adds up, and yeah, I mean, sure, you would be worried about facing Steph Curry in the play-in tournament in a one-game scenario. If that guy could go for 50 easily, but it feels like the Grizzlies are going to at least get the 8th spot. That means you just got to really win one game. You got to beat the 7th seed. That'll be awesome. Mavericks versus Grizzlies, if that's how it turns out. Ja versus Luka. Sign me up. Yeah, Grizzlies have been impressive. I will say, though, Skeets, would have liked a little bit more flavor from Ja on the off-the-backboard.
That's fair. I mean, kudos to Kyle.
He was up there. He was flying.
Oh, he was flying.
That was a hilarious celebration as well from Kyle Anderson. Raising the roof, fully extending his arms, I would say, off the glass. You see the entire bench calling for it. I mean, Ja's head is at the rim. I'm honestly picking nits big time here. But when your head's up that high, throw me a 360, go between the legs,
or
do
even
a windmill, something
yeah.
like that. Yeah, you could add more flavor to it. But that's nice. Kyle Anderson got to be the star of the of that play a little bit, I feel like, which is maybe not what you're expecting when he's out there leading the fast break.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Morant, I know we talk about it all the time, but so many of his plays again last night were great, but he had one that he missed, this layup where he went inside and switched hands. Oh, man, I was ready to post it, and he just rimmed out. I was always going to post it like, this would have been awesome if he'd made it. He didn't, but that's just how good his highlights are. Even his misses are sexy.
Yeah, you are posting a lot of John Morant highlights. You're right. You're all over it. I love it. You like
I can't stop watching
you. Like
you,
the
yeah.
sort of Vancouver throwbacks there too, Lily?
Yeah.
You a fan of those?
Yeah. Yeah. They were good. Yeah. But, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Final one. Had a couple of Holiday brothers help the shorthanded Pacers beat the Timberwolves last night. 141-37. Not an overtime game. 141-137. After the game, Anthony Edwards told reporters that it's on the players and not the coach for Minnesota to start playing some defense. His exact quote here, this is coming from at Dane Moore, NBA. Coach can't come on the floor. He can't do shit but tell us what to do. Shit. He's just saying words. We got to go out there and do the shit. Defense is effort. End quote. So great it, Trey. Letters, numbers, doesn't matter. Maybe an emoji if you want. Edwards, he just saying words quote. Go ahead and grade it.
This is an A+. Anthony Edwards, 19 years old, already speaking 100% truth. So yeah, it's a 100. It's an A+. Because basically this is my philosophy of defense and coaching as well. So let's break it down. Coach can't come on the floor. That's true. They let you a couple of steps. It's fine. But for the most part, coach can't do shit but tell us what to do. Also true. Mm-hmm. He's out there coaching. He's just saying some, as he's saying, he's just saying words. Bars, also true. We got to go out there and do the shit. Defense is effort. True. You know, you got to give coaches credit for the schemes and encouraging the effort, the buy-in, no doubt about it. That's something that's happening with the Grizzlies. They have bought into play and defense, and that's filtered down throughout their team. But when it comes down to it, as the saying goes, it's not X's and O's. It's Jim's and Joe's. The proof is in the pudding, Timberwolves. They gave up 141 points to a Pacers team that was pretty much starting their second stringers. That's a season high for the Pacers. Meanwhile, Minnesota on coach two of the season. They remain one of the worst defensive teams in the league. They've been bottom 10 on defense since the 2015 season. They've had a few coaches since the 2015 season. They've had some of the same players, but they have not figured out how to give the effort consistently on that end of the basketball court for half of a decade.
Yeah, Lee, I saw some backlash to this. People like saying, well, Edwards, like, you talk this talk. Okay, great quote, but like, you might be the worst defensive player on the team. I mean, he's a 19-year-old kid, so that shouldn't be a surprise. But what was your take on this quote, and how would you grade it?
It's fine. I mean, I can understand the frustration because they had a win against the Kings, another terrible defensive team, just the other night. And this was a chance to, you know, put a little string together here, win a couple of games. And they and as Trey mentioned there, they got 140 points put up against them by a team that's also struggling and was shorthanded itself. So it's got to be frustrating. And I mean, it starts with effort. And Anthony Edwards is like, all right, I'm just going to say it then. And he's going to bring a little bit of attention to himself for his own defensive effort. But mm-hmm. if he's aware of it, then go out on the floor there as well. And let's see now how it changes for the next game, for the remainder of the season. They're just not a good defensive team. But surprisingly, they're not the worst. They're fourth worst in the league. The Blazers, Pelicans, and Kings are all worst by rating. But of course, it's more than just the numbers. With the Timberwolves, but I think it's just the frustration. You know, you win a game, you just hope to. Every now and again, you get a team, you think, okay, this is our chance to beat another team here and just build on something. But instead, it wasn't even really close, this one. So I think Anthony Edwards is just frustrated, and he sounded a bit like Leon from Curb Your Enthusiasm with that tweet, with that quote. Cool. You know, coach, we can't come on the floor. We can't do shit. But tell us what to do. Shit. You just say words. We got to get out there and do the shit. Def- defense's effort. I don't know.
This is,
bit of a
this
reach,
your Leon? This is your Leon?
Yeah, that's Leon, yeah.
And anyway, look, if you're going to do a Leon quote, like really lean into it. It's like karaoke. You don't half-ass that shit, man. That's what you did there. You gave up halfway through, I can tell.
I was thinking about it, and I was like, do I do this Leon bit or not? And then I sort of got into it, and I'm like, nah, it didn't really work. But you gotta take a few chances every now and again, don't you?
I guess. This should be the tagline of our show, by the way. He just saying words. Shit, he just saying words. Exactly.
They're just saying words.
That's like every podcast, I guess. All right, so let's hear from all of you guys. Grade all of that stuff I just threw at the guys. Letters, numbers, I don't care. Maybe we have to come up with more of a rules to this segment, but we'll figure it out as we go along here. All right, we do have Is This News, but first, quick break to hear from our sponsors. Trey. All right, let's get to Is This News. Is This News? I know how this segment works. I give you guys a headline, and you tell me whether or not it's newsworthy. It's as simple as that. And the first one, headline from ESPN, sources. NBA aims for full arenas for 2021-22 season with increased testing and vaccines. Lee, is this news?
This is potentially good news, yes. The actual vaccine rollout program across America has been very good so far. I think in Georgia, I know everyone 16 or over is eligible to get vaccinated, so that is good, and that's a sign that potentially whenever the season starts next year around September, October, you know, I think the majority of people who want to get the vaccine can be vaccinated by them, which is, I think, the first step. And then they will continue testing. It won't, I don't think the NBA or maybe in other leagues as well will just sort of open it up and be completely test-free once you get to the arenas. I think there's still going to be a lot of tracking of just making sure that everyone who enters, you know, doesn't have a fever and doesn't have any symptoms or anything like that. So This is potential. I mean, a lot of arenas are allowing fans. In fact, I think most are allowing some form of attendance from fans already. Mm-hmm. People still have to be socially distanced and wearing masks and things like that. But it certainly feels like we will be a lot closer to capacity or allowing for capacity, even if it's not in every arena by the time next season rolls around. So I think that's good news. I think everyone misses having the atmosphere of fans attending games. I mean, we've kind of gotten used to watching it on TV. You don't know if it's now just the piped-in sound or if it is sometimes the fans in the crowd. I think it's still mainly the piped-in noise. But it will certainly be better when we are able to safely attend games. I mean, I don't feel sort of comfortable yet just going as a fan, but others do, which is fine. And I've been vaccinated. But once we get to that point where more people are, I think then it's going to be great. And I think, again, as long as they make sure that there are protocols in place for testing and keeping an eye on people who are attending, I think it's a good step for the NBA.
Yeah, and it appears there's pretty strenuous testing and documentation and, you know, like making sure that you have your proof of vaccine via this, I think it's called the CHARM app, that will kind of track all this stuff to make sure that the people who are coming into the stands are doing it as safely as they possibly can. But the number during the shutdown last year is that 40% of the league's revenue comes from fans. So obviously the league wants to have as many fans back in arenas as fast as they possibly can. I think the number is 2/3 of teams have fans right now, but it's still small portions of the stadium. So the question I'm having is that more and more teams, more and more players are getting vaccinated. We just saw the Chicago Bulls all got, I think they just got their first Pfizer doses before heading out on this on their road trip. They won't be fully vaccinated until right at the end of the regular season. But if it's happening for the Bulls, is that then also happening for other teams? And does that then therefore mean that perhaps we'll see more fans in stands come playoff time? Because I think that could actually have an impact. Most of these players have been playing in basically empty arenas for the majority of the season. What if they're suddenly halfway full in the playoffs? Does that matter? Is home court advantage more of a thing? I guess we might find out.
Yeah, I think that's very fair. I guess a key aspect to this whole effort is the NBA, they've partnered with Clear. And you may hear that and go, oh, yeah, Clear. That's you see that at airports probably because that's the biometric like screening company used usually for security purposes at airports worldwide. So they've teamed with him here, like them here, like this partnership for health screening technology. So it's going to be like an app, you know, that, you know, you upload your information, your documents, whatever, test results are linked, that you're vaccinated and stuff like that. And it can, through, I'm sure, you know, facial recognition can, you know, confirm that it's you and stuff like that. And that will allow you in. I think it's almost like going to be like a health pass, I think. That's what we're going to get here with this clear app to get into arenas. It's going to be a part of the attending anything, I think, like concerts and obviously sporting events and anything where there's a lot of people. It's going to be something like that. So that's a great point, though. Like, how quickly are some of these teams? Because I think I'm even hearing, like, some of the other teams are ramping up how many people they're allowing in, Trey, with, I would assume, the hopes that they are getting closer to capacity by potentially playoff time. But maybe not. Maybe this is more of like a next year thing where we'll be closer to 100%.
Yeah, it certainly feels like they're getting their ducks in a row so that next year they can go forward with having as many fans as possible in the stands. But maybe the rollout goes so quickly in this next couple of weeks or next few weeks here that it does have an impact. For playoff time, we shall see.
Next one, Yahoo Sports. The Lakers add shooter Ben McLemore to fill final roster spot. This is why we do this segment. Is this news? The 13th man on the Lakers is Ben McLemore. Trey, you tell me. Newsworthy or not?
This ain't news, Keats.
No?
This happens with every LeBron James team. A player with shooting talent becomes available somehow. LeBron's team takes a chance because you can never have enough shooting. Results, however, may vary. J.R. Smith, an instrumental part of the Cleveland Cavaliers when he came over via trade with the New York Knicks. Seemed like it might have been an Iman Shumpert trade. No, it was the J.R. Smith trade. He was huge for them. Same thing happened with Channing Frye back in the day. A low-level trade, but his shooting paid off, unfortunately. Sometimes it doesn't work. J.R. Smith didn't do much for the Lakers last year. Same with Dion Waiters, who I just checked did not win L.A. a playoff game. Ben McLemore falls more into the last group for me. He had some nice moments as a small ball four playing with James Harden in Houston last season. Shot 40% from three, and that to me is a little bit encouraging if you're the Lakers, because playing with LeBron is very similar to playing with James Harden. You're going to be getting wide open shots. You know the passes are going to be on point.
Yep.
It just comes down to, can Ben McLemore make them? It's worth a dice roll for the Lakers. Low risk, medium reward. If he hits three threes in a playoff game, it's a success.
Yeah, what do you think, Lee? I tend to agree with Trey there. I'm not sure this is actual newsworthy, but Vogel's talking it up that, hey, maybe we can make the defense pay when they load up on LeBron and AD. You just throw another shooter out there, well, if Ben McLemore gets the opportunity.
Yeah, he resurrected his career to some degree there, just playing in Houston's system, where it's like, can you shoot the threes? He said, okay, yeah, 40%, 180 on the season, more than he'd ever hit before. But this season, things are just completely different in Houston. The team is a disaster, of course, and so he goes to a situation where it's like breaking case of emergency. Hey, Ben McLemore, stick him out on the court. Maybe he can hit a couple of threes for us. But that's all it is. He's really just a backup to the backups at this point for the Lakers. But, you know, if he can continue to shoot like that, he can sort of hang around in the league, because that's what every team has a spot for someone like that to be able to, you know, if you're knocking in 40% on three a game, Someone will keep you employed anyway.
Yeah. The Athletic reported when the Lakers signed Andre Drummond that the team was looking for like a 3-and-D wing to fill out the roster. Ben McLemore definitely checks the 3 part of that equation, not the D part so much. The numbers actually say he's one of the league's worst shooting guard defenders. He does not really bring it on that end of the floor, but that's okay. He really is a shooter. And like you guys said, you know, a couple years prior, he was pretty damn good from distance. Brutal this year, but it is what it is. I have a trivia question for you guys, though. It's a weird one. Ben McLemore is the 6th Clutch Sports client on the Lakers. Can you name the other 5 players represented by Clutch Sports? You're obviously going to know a couple of them off the top.
Well, Davis and LeBron.
That's right. Right. Who else?
KCP.
That's right.
Marcus Morris.
No.
KCP, Marcus Morris. No?
No, not Marcus Morris, apparently.
Kuzma?
No.
Andre Drummond?
No, I'll just give them to you. Okay. Montrezl Harrell, I did not know was a clutch guy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't know this one. Horton Tucker. Dylan Horton Tucker, I guess, is represented by Clutch Sports. Yeah. So there you go. Yes. And then
that's why the Lakers wouldn't trade him for Kyle Lowry. Clutch said, no, he's not going.
That's a possibility. Okay. That's it for Is This News. There was not a lot of news going around. That's we'll call it that. Don't worry. We got the Drop podcast tomorrow. All right. Time for Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the night. Wow.
Twitter.
Trey Kirby, what do you got?
Simple tweet of the night for you, Skeets. He comes to us from ColeZ21, who says, "Hey, Lee Ellis, I was offered some kombucha today, and I drank it for the first time. I know you and the guys at No Dunks mention it a lot, and you give it high praise. But I have a question for you. How do you drink this thing, man? Hey, is kombucha still Lee's secret stuff? You used to talk about kombucha all the time, and now it's all coffee talk.
Yeah. Well, we started brewing our own at home here. Actually, Roxana started making it.
You got too much time on your hands, man.
No. She got the big, what's it called? The big Scooby.
Scoby,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Too much Scooby-Doo in our house, actually. Scooby and a Scoby. And she was making it. It was great. But to be perfectly honest, it was like... we just had like bottles and bottles and bottles of it, and I got to a point like, all right, I think I've had enough kombucha for now.
Too much kombucha.
Yeah, because like she was making it and she was brewing it and doing everything, and I was like, this is really good, but it was just like we were putting them in the fridge and we had like 20 bottles in there. I'm like, all right, I think I'm tapped out of kombucha right now. So drunk all those, got rid of the SCOBY.
What?
And, we sort of had to because it was like,
you killed the living thing, man.
Well, we put in the compost, so it will live on somewhere.
Still killed it.
Yeah, but it was just it was like, wow, I didn't think this was going to happen, but you know, it did. So, and then I just haven't gotten back into it since then. So
summer's coming. You know, you're going to want a cool drink. You can't be having an espresso when it's 100 degrees outside here in Atlanta. Maybe kombucha back for summer. We shall see.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible it'll come back into the rotation. Things like that happen. But I was drinking. I mean, I had two a day there for a while. I was like, all right, I think I've done with the booch for a while.
Was your SCOBY smelly? Like, does that... Because I've thought about brewing it, but now I'm hearing one thing is that when you do it, you end up with way too much kombucha. I don't like it as much as you in the first place. And my number two concern was the stank. Yeah, you got a thing that's just decaying there.
It didn't really stink. It didn't really stink the house, but it just doesn't stop growing. That's the other thing is you have to sort of trim it and cut it back because it's an organism, so it does keep growing. And when we finally moved on from it, it was just massive in the container we had. So I put that in the compost and took up the whole thing. And I was like, I hope they come and pick this up soon because otherwise it's going to be like a movie, you know? Like, it's just going to keep growing and come into our house and attack us.
Did you ever play the old Nintendo game Maniac Mansion? You ever play that, anybody?
Nah, don't think it made it to Australia.
Yeah, that's what I always think, like, there's these weird, like, talking tentacles, I guess they're called, in the game. Right. And I always think that they started as the kombucha. And that's what they've grown into. And now they want to just make a band and stuff like that. But anyway.
here's a super deep pool. I don't know if anyone will know this. Maybe JD. But there was two movies from the early 80s called Creepshow. Creepshow 1 and Creepshow 2. Sure. You remember those, JD?
Of course. Stephen King.
Yeah. So do you remember that one where they were out on a lake and there was this big sort of thing moving around the lake and they didn't know what it was. And eventually it just like eats them all. It kills them all.
Yeah.
That's basically like our SCOBY, so...
I had to get rid of it.
Yeah.
Okay. SCOBY. Wow, rest in peace to you. I mean, you never answered the question that I think it was Cole had. Like, how do you drink this shit, basically?
Look. Some of them don't taste great. Yeah. But some of them, the one that I used to drink all the time, the Trilogy, was great. You tried it, Skeetsy.
Yeah, it's fine. So, I wouldn't want to drink it all the time, but it's not as much as fine. It was fine.
It's like soft drink. Like, there's some soft drinks that you just don't drink and some that you just do. I mean, sure. They're different flavors, different varieties. I mean, that's how you drink it. You don't just have one, that's it. This is the only one that you can possibly drink. There's a million different kombuchas out there, and some of them are great. There's a Pink Lady Apple one from, what's that brand? I can't think. That's a really good one, too. But... some of them, yeah, they taste like shit. I admit that. I've tried a few. I've tried a lot because I did try to mix it up, but I settled on the Trilogies from GTS. Mm. Shout out to GTS.
Yes. Yes. Good. Shout out to them.
I'm still available for a sponsorship as well.
I don't drink it anymore, but, you know, if you start giving to him,
I will. I will if somebody wants me to.
All right. Okay. Pick 'em results. Pick 'em brought to you by BetMGM. Sorry, I keep catching myself in the StreamYard video here with my hair doing this very fascinating thing at the front here. This might be a new look for me. What do you want to call that?
Yeah, I don't... It looks like a gentleman from like the 1940s. I don't know why, you know, just like a little extra curl yeah. on the side, a little extra wave.
Yeah.
Did you just wash it last night?
I just washed it this morning. It's super, super.
Ah, this morning.
Yeah, right. Fluffy.
Yeah.
Anyway, pick it.
Fonty.
I'm keeping it. And my hair is getting too long. I need a haircut. Pick 'em brought to you by BetMGM. It was the Jazz Suns. Couple of us believing in the Phoenix Suns. They're for real. And that's a win for me and a win for Trey. Trey's 4-1. He had the Suns. I needed it to get back to 2-3, and that's a loss for Tass and Lee, who had the Jazz to win by 3 or more. So you guys are 3-2. Tonight's game? Oh, yeah. It's the graveyard match. It's the casket match. Loser gets buried live on NBA TV. That'd be amazing, eh? Like, they actually dig the ditch and put all the players in, cover them up, just like a wrestling match. It's the Bulls-Raptors game is what I'm getting at. Bulls favored by 3.5 on the road. Let's start with you, Trey. We know, I mean, this would be insane if you picked the Raptors to cover, but I assume you're taking the Bulls to win easily.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bulls for sure. A lot of players out for the Raptors tonight. Yep. Looks like they're going to be missing basically everybody, same as they were their last game, but they pulled off a win in that game. Nonetheless, I'm still going with the Bulls, obviously, tonight. A little bit of news, though, for the Raptors. The Athletic's Shams Charania reporting the Orlando Magic are planning to waive center Kem Birch in order to give him an opportunity to play more with the Toronto Raptors.
Whoa!
As is likely a landing spot.
Club Canada, Kem Birch.
So there you go.
Let's go. Come on.
That's
well,
right.
I was going to say come on home, but you're not going home. You're going to Tampa.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Probably not going to be in uniform tonight, but dude, you're getting a birch.
Sweet.
Exciting.
We could use a birch right now. I'm
you
not
can use
upset
a birch.
With that news. Great breaking news there. Okay, so you're taking the Bulls, though, to win by 4 or more. Lee, where are you going tonight?
It's one of those weird ones. It's like, yeah, the Raptors are shorthand, but they can maybe just have that fight back in them. But I think the Bulls do win this game by 4 points. I think that line is pretty much perfect, actually. I think it's going to be ugly. But Vooch has been playing better lately for Chicago.
Are
and
you
no,
saying
Kyle
Vooch
Lowry.
Or
if
Vooch?
Kyle Lowry. I'm pretty sure Kyle Lowry is out tonight. If he was playing, I'd pick the Raptors, but he's not, so I'll take the Chicago Bulls.
All right, before I make my pick, let's find out where Tassie goes. He's a diehard Raptors fan, but he's also, you know, he's not silly like I am. I got a feeling he's going to take Chicago, but let's find out.
The Bulls are 21-28, but they're good against sub-500 teams, 16-11. But I don't care. The Raps are the best bad team in NBA history. I'm wearing a freaking Toronto Blue Jays Joe Carter shirt. No way I'm betting against the Raps. Give me Toronto.
Wow. I didn't see that coming. I will be completely honest. I'm with Tassie tonight. Raptors keep it close enough to cover. I mean, look, we're going to have this whole thing tonight where we're going to be talking shit to each other about the Bulls-Raptors. It's like, I can't take the Bulls to cover. I mean, even if I actually believe it. No, Raptors covering this, no problem. They're going to win outright. And the Bulls are going to be buried. It'll be fantastic. Okay, so we're split on this one. 2 of us taking the Bulls to win by 4 or more. 2 of us to take the Raptors to cover. We will be back, well, later today with some whoopsies fun, the hoops and the bloops. So make sure you check that out on No Dunk's YouTube channel. And then later tonight, halftime of the Lakers Heat, halftime, whatever, of the Bulls-Raptors game. NBA happy hour. Yeah, we're back. Hopefully, King of the Fourth Quarter, Kenny Beecham, is going to join us. We'll have some fun with him. And otherwise, we'll just hang out and drink some booch. It'll be a lot of fun. So email us your questions for the next Beach Steppin' Boochin' podcast.
With Vooch.
That's right. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Grab your No Dunks merch at NoDunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic. Go to TheAthletic.com/NoDunks. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, on tonight's happy hour, expect more stories of life and fun.
Embrace the day, people. You could stay.